Hello and welcome, everyone. So in today's episode, we're going to be diving into something that I know each and every one of you, and I know including myself, has definitely been through. And it's just what we could call the epidemic of just not being enough, like not feeling good enough, not feeling worthy enough. This could show up in how you try to approach to get a relationship, how you try to show up in a business or even start a business, and really how to be able to be you and be okay with being you and not being burdened by all this other stuff that sometimes we think we need to be. And to share that topic with us today, we have the wonderful Christina Woods that is going to be sharing her insight, her wisdom, and her journey with you guys. So on that note, Christina, I would absolutely love to introduce you to our listeners and share a little bit about your story, about what got you to do what you do today, and so much of the journey of how did you overcome and how do you still overcome not being good enough?
Yeah, it's definitely still overcoming. You're right about that. So like many people, I grew up not feeling good enough. I don't think I realized it until probably the age of 50, as I look back, but I definitely grew up not feeling good enough. I came from, you know, the divorce family, like many people, we didn't have a ton of money, never felt like I, you know, did anything right. On the outside, I don't think it looked like that. In high school, you know, homecoming queen on the dance team. So I think on the outside, everybody thought, wow, she's got a lot going on the inside.
Yeah, and the perfect life, probably, you know.
Yeah, yeah, home, you know, all that stuff. But on the inside, I definitely felt like I wasn't enough. I compared myself to everyone. We didn't have enough. And then that kind of translated into, okay, I'll go to college. I'll do what I'm supposed to do, get married, have two kids, have, you know, the picket fence. Mm-hmm. I went real hardcore into the corporate world. And for 30 years, that was my grind. Climbed the ladder and then some, flew around the world in high heels and was super mom. You know, I can do the little league. I have two wonderful boys, but you know, I can do little league and then hold on, let me do this conference call. Let me fly on a, you know, this plane across the country and do these meetings. And, what happened was, you know, I beat myself down and couldn't take it anymore. My marriage was falling apart. My health definitely took a toll, and I was never happy. I couldn't understand why I kept getting promotions and more money and more things, and nothing ever felt right. So it was literally one day I'm outside in my pajamas picking weeds, and my marriage was not going well. And I knew this. We both knew this. This is over 20 years though. And, you know, you don't know when it really happens, but it happens and you don't know what to do about it. And, you kind of don't want to do anything about it really. And, I'm picking weeds and he comes out and says something that, you know, makes me not feel good. And I literally hear a voice. And, I will say I was probably somewhat spiritual, but not really living it. I dabbled and loved it, but I wasn't really being authentic. And I heard a voice. It wasn't my intuition. It was something different. And it was this voice that said, are you finally going to stop expecting everybody else to make you happy and do what you need to do to make you happy? And wow. I literally like snapped my head. What was that? Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, here it goes. I gotta make some changes. So we did, you know, end the marriage. And after, you know, a 30-year career, I jumped off the cliff and changed that career. And fast forward about 4 or 5 years after I left that, decided to leave the career, somewhere in there, I had definitely a huge spiritual awakening. Mm-hmm. And just was like a little sponge of every book, retreats to Costa Rica, crying, leave me alone. I need to chant every morning. And, you know, just as much as I could soak up, I was completely obsessed. And my intuition was, my spidey senses were growing and expanding. And I almost didn't know what to do with it all. And so through many serendipitous things that happened, I fell upon hypnotherapy. So I left my corporate world in higher education, who thinks things like that I do now are probably, you know, very woo-woo crazy. I left that world that I knew and was doing quite well in, and said, you know what, it's now or never. And so now I'm a therapist, hypnotherapy, Reiki master, and, you know, still peeling layers back to know I'm enough. And every day there's shadow work to be done, but it's deeper and richer, and the connections are richer. And what I'm finding is, you know, when you just let that stuff fly away and just be in your essence, life can be easy. It doesn't need to be freaking hard all the time. Yep. And it flows so much better. And, you know, this I am enough or not enough, really. I was told in my training that that would be a common theme with every client. And I thought, I'm not going to put that in my head and make that something it might not be. Well, it definitely is. Really not anyone that I haven't met, whether it's they come to me for money or irritable bowel syndrome or smoking or anything, it comes down to, you know, I don't feel enough, skinny enough, smart enough, whatever, enough, not even born at the right time, in the right life, you know, and it just keeps expanding. So I think the more we step into who we are and knowing we're more than this physical being, we're this energetic being as well. Yeah. I find so much peace with that, and I'm enough.
Yeah. One beautiful story. Absolutely beautiful. And I think it's so relatable to a lot of people of, I call it like we live multiple lives in one lifetime. And I mean, it really is for you if you think about it. That was a whole different identity of yourself. And through the transition of you to now is like, you know, who's Christina now? And then it's more of like, who do I decide to be? Who do I want to be? Not who am I? It's like, who do I want? Like, how am I? How do I decide? Because we are evolutionary. And it is, it's the spiritual being having this human experience, which can be quite dense, can be hard. It can be, but mm-hmm. I think it's like, I call it like, it's almost like we have these stages, at least how I've been seeing it, like not even literally seeing it, but feeling the sight. It's like segmented into different lifetimes. And it's not literally determined by age. It's just, it's the evolution of self, because I there's those that are younger than me, older than me, that have this hindsight that is just beyond measure. Like their consciousness has expanded so far, and their viewership of how they exist and live or don't exist, they live and embody life opposed to just existing, opposed to just being warm and just walking around and redundant. Like profound perceptions that is just, I actually recorded a podcast on this the other day, and it's about my big transition that I noticed that I hit where I was able to realize like I am totally enough is when we embody that spiritual self inside of our, or the soul self, true self, however we identify mm-hmm. with it. I think we all have different terminology for it.
Right.
And for me, it's my higher self. And I just call it self. And when I'm me, that's me. And this is just like a spaceship, a suit, you know, like a temporary vessel that I am just currently residing in to explore and experiment life. And so if there's these chapters and these moments of life in which I had a portion of my identity, like the first 30 years, I didn't know who I was, who I could be. I was defined by every limitation. Most stuff didn't work out for me. Like mm-hmm. It's like I didn't climb. I didn't grow. It's like every time I tried, I was like something halted me. And then from like about to be 36. It's like now in this time, in these last 6 years, one, I have now two kids. Didn't have that before. That changes you. But it's like as I stepped out of here in the brain and stepped into self and like transitioned to realize like that deep within power, like you said, like life really can be easy. But that's the difference when people are still residing so much in the mind and allowing that control the steps, that's when it doesn't seem easy. That's when it feels impossible. Mm-hmm. That's when the denseness can smother you out and you feel like you're suffering and you feel hopeless. And I still am, because I'm having a human experience, totally have those moments. Like I can remember one specific back in January of full hopelessness, so deep, so far that I like surrendered in this moment And what I was really doing is surrendering into self, obviously, like right now coming to me, I'm surrendering to self is really what I was doing in that moment, and to flip it. So I know you brought up that you see, I mean, I think it's just us as a society, as a whole, because of the programming that we've had. But as individual bases, like, because you talked about a few things like IBS, cigarettes, or wanting money, those seem like very drastically different topics, but yet they all are going back to some root cause. And so, like, do you notice that though, are they aware of it, or are you uncovering it for them? Like, or is there disassociation? Do you notice as a common theme?
So I intuitively feel like we all have a sense of what's going on if we just stopped all the noise around us. So I tend to feel when I initially meet with someone, they have kind of a gut of what's going on. They might get in their head a little bit and they'll tend to say, oh, I know it's because of this. I know it's because of that. I know it's because my dad was mean, and I know it was because of that. I think intuitively we have a sense. We might not want to go there quite yet. So I give people the credit that, you know, their intuition is there, and some are just more aware of it. But I don't think consciously, no, I don't think that it's always that obvious. But, you know, I'm not a scientific person. That was like the class I bombed in. I was a psych major in college. And then the second it started getting sciencey, I was like, I'm out. I'm going to be a speech communication major so I can just talk to people, and, you know, I'm out. And now with this hypnotherapy, you know, there is a little, not really science, but a little bit of it. But I think of, you know, we got this conscious mind and subconscious mind, but the subconscious mind where we live and 95% of everything in these programs, it's really our soul. It's our soul. It's, you know, it's not the noise. And when we can, back to your question, you know, if it's smoking or IBS, when we can just quiet the noise and say, hey, what's the root cause of this? So whether you want to think it's your soul or whatever, what's going on, body? I mean, we have enough science to know our mind and body are connected. We have enough evidence if that's what you need. If you don't need it, it's real. I mean, if you close your eyes and act like you're eating a lemon, you're going to squint, and even with, you know, there's not a lemon there. Your body, your stomach's going to start making sounds because it feels like there's acid coming on down. So, you know, if you think about having sex with someone, things happen. It doesn't mean you are. It happens. So your mind and body are connected. So it would make sense that a lot of our physical issues have something to do with something else. And so when we ask the mind, hey, what's going on? What's the root cause of it? And we go back and we find little scenarios and things that pop up. That's why I loved and why I felt so compelled to change my career, was that this was so simple. It wasn't complicated. It's like in hypnotherapy, it's just quiet the mind. Let's go back and ask. And you might go back to scenes in your life where you're eating cereal in front of the TV, and or your mom picks you up late from soccer practice, not trauma. But the meaning we attach to it or is, oh, my mom doesn't love me as much. She picked up my brother and sister on time, but not me. No, you know, she got stuck at the light or got stuck at work. But the meaning we attach, or other things that happen to us in life, or gosh, you know, we got religion, we got cultures, we got sexes. We've got so many things that are part of this program that has nothing to do with us. and ancestral things, if we want to get into other lives, and ancestral things that just pile on and start to form these beliefs and then cloud the lens in which we start to think of ourselves, and it starts to form these things. Gosh, we forget who we are. We can't even find ourselves. And so, gosh, I can't earn money because I'm not enough. And so when we start to get to the root cause, it's so cool because we can just rip it up and go, see, this is why you thought you weren't enough. But now you can see that wasn't true. And when people can go, oh, I thought that. It's just like anything in life. When you look back and you go, oh, I dated that jerk. I thought that was me. No, that was him. Or, you know, I thought if I kept mowing the lawn that and I thought the weed would go away. No, I had to actually pull the shit out. So now it's like I got to get to the root cause. Oh, that wasn't me. I am actually a pretty cool person. So I can earn money and it can flow easily. It doesn't have to be hard. I was raised that if you earn money, you better spend every penny because you might not ever get it again. That was how we lived forever and ever. So when I started earning money, it just was going away. Mm-hmm. And eventually, and it would cause a lot of fights in my marriage. I was like, I don't know why it goes away. It just goes away. Until one day I was like, why does it go away? What the hell's wrong with me? I must really be terrible at money. So I had that story for a long time. I just suck at money. I'm not good at money. He's good at money. I'm not good at money. Until I realized, well, wait a second. What's that story about? That program? Oh, I thought that. That's not true. I'm actually was divinely created to create and accept and receive. That's my divine right. And so it's not an issue anymore once I believed it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the whole key is getting to the state of belief. I think a lot of times what caught me in a cycle, for whatever reason, I began this whole transitionary thing around like 17 or 18. I had like severe depression and all this other stuff. And my dad gave me this book. And I'm so glad he gave me this book and he wrote in the book because my dad passed away last year. And it was called Life's Missing Instruction Manual by Joe Vitale. And I think I was either 17 or 18. And basically the whole essence of it is one, realizing we're responsible for our life, two, realizing we're responsible for the choices to make those different changes in our life. But more importantly, when we do that, we're changing our belief system, more of the belief system of self, more than externally believing in something. It's believing in us, because for so long, our power, we've just given it away to everything else. One, not even realizing we have power, like power, that divine power, that divine essence of self. It like wasn't even there. And so through this transition for me, it's like, I don't know, it for the long time, I thought I needed to do something. I thought it needed to be really complex and really hard. And that was something I really liked that you said, because I have noticed through all these changes and whether I'm working with a client or not, it just self, the simplest things are the most profound impact that I have ever found. And I had this one stage where, man, like, I think it was like 2017. I didn't even know I had gifts and all this stuff. And they just like poured right. Like I got trained in nothing. They just all like, I was joking, like, yo, I'm here. You know, I showed up. Like crazy. I was like doing inner child work, reading people's stuff. And I'm like, I didn't even know I could channel. And like, I remember looking at my husband going, life's different from this point on. That was like 2017. Yes, it is.
Can't go back.
Yeah, no, definitely not going back. There was no closing that door. It was like Pandora's box opened. The bitch is there. And at first I'm like, kind of hate you. Why are you here? I already feel so weird inside. Now you're making me weirder. Why? Like I already felt like I didn't belong. And then I realized I do belong and I belonged in that space. And that was my self, not an identity. It was just me. I didn't need a label. And then I went through the transition of like, oh shit, like maybe I should be formally trained. Maybe I do need, because I'm not good enough in the spiritual world now. Yes. I'm not enough in the spiritual world because I don't have these things. So I went through another cycle. And that's the thing that's so crazy about the shit is like you'll cycle. And then what I was getting at is finally I got confident in my gifts and I'm there. And it didn't take very long. And I then am knowing that I'm going to keep evolving and I'm, you know, evolutionary and all the stuff. Like I'm not a linear being. And I dismiss the simplicity in so many things. I just had this conversation with my husband recently. I had this one book. I don't even know when I bought it, years ago. And I remember when I opened it, when I bought it, I think I got it on Amazon on, you know, impulse buy. And I opened it. I'm like, literally, this is so basic. I'm not reading this. Like, what is it going to teach me that I don't already know? You know, I opened that book recently. I was led to like open. I always open books when it's time. And I only read them when it's time. Otherwise, those things sit on my shelf. I opened it and I'm like, I said this to myself the other night. I laid there. I read like six chapters in like an hour. And I was like, this is so profound. It's so simple. I was like, I couldn't see it then. You know, it's like we overcomplicate it. Like we overcomplicate it, right?
We do. I feel like I have those moments all the time. You know, especially when you learn that life is a mirror. You know, this experience you're having is a mirror.
Yeah.
And if it's not going well, you're like, wait a second, what does that mean? You know, and now to take accountability and not beat yourself up. It's just a lesson. It's just kind of like, all right, this stuff's going on in my life. Or I'm attracting clients that, you know, maybe it's not in alignment or something's going on or relationships, whatever. I could pick a million things. And, you know, this is a mirror. I'm not pointing the finger. And, you know, what vibration am I at? What do I need to focus on? And I do that. I'll journal about it. I'll maybe, you know, whine about it for a minute, but I'll, you know, go to the beach and figure it out. And, I'm at a low vibration about this. I'm feeling like I'm not good enough. I'm feeling like, oh gosh, I have to go to YouTube and listen to how to post this on the internet. And how do I do Facebook Lives? And if I don't put that right call to action, nobody will ever want to hire me. And knock it off, you know? Some things will be in alignment with me and some things won't. And it's my way. It's your way. And we have to find our way. We can learn, but it's our way. And when we don't like what we're seeing, I think that's the best thing I hope to help my clients with, is to just find a vibration that feels right. And then to look at their life as a mirror and just know that it's okay when it's not in sync, and just look at what's going on and just say, all right, you know what? I need to just find a different vibe and feel your way into trusting that things will fall away as they should. Relationships will end and new ones will come in as they should. And it'll be okay.
Yeah, it's not a failure. It's a transition, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a failure. And one thing you touched on before, I have to say, I'm trying to think which, I think it's going to be episode 47, is I had recorded, and because you talked about, in a way, I don't know if I was like translating in the sense, but it's like the stories are pages of this journey, okay? Like our lives are chapters and they have stories in them. And like you talked about, like eating cereal or your mom not picking you up, and then we conceptualize this feeling in that moment, which then, like you're saying, because I've had people like, yeah, but I haven't had trauma in my life. You know, I haven't been attacked. Right. I haven't been raped. I haven't been beaten.
I don't have a reason to be upset. Yeah.
Yeah, correct. And so it's like, well, then what's wrong with me? And I'm like, no, hold on. Like, you know, and that's just it, is if we can pinpoint, and sometimes this is what I tell people too, like let go of even at times like pinpointing. If we just give ourselves the ability to go, all right, like you said, like really not enough as a surface layer. Not enough about what? And like you said, going to the root. So then say you get yourself, and I always say question everything in life, but also question everything about yourself, because most of the stuff that we think is not even who we are. You know, it's the program beliefs and all this other stuff from other people's stories and other people's world, and it's craziness at times. And I use this analogy of like, you have the power to basically create the book of your life, and then don't do it with pen. We're not doing old school typewriters, which even then they have a little tape you could put on it.
Change it.
Use a pencil or use the keyboard, and you type and you can erase it when you're ready to change it. And or go back into that moment when you felt that your mom didn't love you, when, you know, she was late for you, but she always seems to pick your brother up on time. Mm-hmm. And it actually makes me think, my son, he's 5, and every now and then he'll tell me that, like, why do y'all choose Sophie? She's 3. And of course, you know, she's in the me still phase.
Right.
And he's like, well, why did you do that with her? And I'm like, okay, this is something he's going to feel, that I'm choosing. She's better. I love her more. He's not loved. Mm-hmm. And so I help him now, in the moment of now, how can we rewrite that today? How can, not that it was invalid or anything like that, we're trying to dismiss an emotion, but that you have the power to rewrite the emotion of the destiny of what comes next. And if you see it as a page in your novel of your life, you can go in, rip the bitch out. If you don't like it, crumble it up and throw it away with intention to insert something else there, or completely omit it because it's not needed. It does not need, the pain does not need to define you. It does not need to envelop you or smother you out. You know, we can use it as an inspiration piece, a transition piece, you know, into the next chapter, into the next, you know, little phase, or, you know, movie number 2, you know, of our life. Like your life is a great thing of, you were like the first part of the movie, and then they make, you know, the sequel. It's something so different because of your choices, and you rewrote the pages in it. And then, like you said, we still do it now, but we're not like rewriting a book anymore because we realize it's not a book. It was a moment. It wasn't a lifetime. It was a moment, you know?
Right. There's something Marissa Peer says that I trained under. She's like, it's never too late to rewrite your childhood. And it's true. At first I was like, nah, I don't know about that. But it's true, because as I look back now at my childhood, I could look at someone who, okay, my parents had me in high school. Okay, so does that mean I wasn't wanted? Yeah, probably. What does that mean? I wasn't meant to be here? No, of course I was meant to be here. I was absolutely meant to be here. So what meaning do I attach to that? I was so meant to be here that they put me here, you know, the source, God, whatever, put me here in the middle of these teens' lives because I was meant to be here right then and now. And so what meaning do I attach to all those things? You know, as an empathic child, I was super sensitive, as you probably were. And you know, we soak up everything. And so the meaning we attach to all that was, you know, I was a pain in the butt and it was hard, but now I look back and go, no, actually, you know, I know my mom was having a hard time through some of that stuff, and that actually didn't have anything to do with me. I could see it differently now, so I can write a whole new story about that. And we all can. And, you know, it's kind of like even therapy. You know, we have this story in our society that you have to work really hard and cry and just have to struggle to get through depression or anything. And I'm not taking that away from anyone, because that is a rough road for many, many people. It doesn't have to be for everyone. I have many clients that after a few sessions, they're on the other side of something that they've been working on for years. Yep. It's just finding what is right for you. And there are other ways. There's different ways. And I think the most awesome shift that's been going on lately is there are new ways of thinking about healing and this whole mind, body, even a little dose of this spirituality mixed in. Some people that do what I, you know, this hypnotherapy I've learned, some people don't add spirituality to it. I do. I add a big energetic component to it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes big shifts. It's just that's my way to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's fast. It's quick. It isn't for everyone, because that's not their journey. But the story that, you know, it's got to go once a week for the next 10 years, and hopefully along the way you'll feel better. It's kind of like if you broke your foot and they said you had to go once a week and your foot might feel better in 10 years, you'd go, I'm sorry, I'm going to go to somebody else. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be that way. And so we can just scratch that and let that go and think, you know what? There's some quantum ways to heal now.
Totally.
It's just different now, which is pretty awesome.
Well, and like you were saying, is that there's not one way to do this. And it goes into, if we want to literally go business here, just like I tell clients, because I primarily do business stuff or work with those with businesses. It's like the objective of niching isn't to be like Brenda's 62 and this is all that you serve. It's just more of the modality in what you're doing, the energy to energy exchange is on the same level for those of the frequency of finances that you're looking to, you know, charge, that they're on the frequency of payment. That is a quote unquote layman's term niche. You know, it's correct. Not the specificity that narrows you into a tunnel, that this is the only way, this is the only person you're going to serve, and this is how they're always going to be, and they love yoga on Tuesday nights. Like, it doesn't, right. You know, like, it doesn't have to be that. And that's the same thing with our if you want to call it individuality, our humanness, is that what works for one may not work for another, but it's not because you did something wrong or not something right. It's just more of shifting gears to, I call it being a non-biased observer of your life. Being a non-biased observer of your life gives you infinite potential to see so many angles and so many ways, and also the objective of polarity that exists as well. Mm. And so I can attest, having been one that attempted a few times to end my life because I was that far gone in depression. And I used to think it was something I was going to have the rest of my life every day. And it was, I had gone to therapy. I had attempted metaphysical drugs. That was not it. Pharmaceutical drugs. Well, eventually that I knew one. Metaphysical drugs called ayahuasca. I actually did. So I guess
that's true.
It was a moment in time, and it was like a shift to where I was like, when I got on the other side, I was like, holy shit. This is what it's like. So I can have this. And so in the beginning, it was moments. It wasn't an everyday thing, but I started to realize I had the capability, and it all tied into how I felt about myself, and more importantly, how I believed and what I could be and who I could be. And until I made that shift, I struggled still because I didn't believe in myself. Like, if you have to have one thing, I feel like more than anything, it's not a skill set. It's not how you look. It's not what you do. It's what you believe about yourself, of what you're capable of doing. And that's when like the extraordinary happens. Like that's when life, like I call it, it's almost like those movies where it's like everything's shifting like a gear. And it's
amazing.
It does. It can. And you're not an exception. Like I feel like I am a person that came from trenches, and I did. I had sexual trauma. I had mental trauma. I had all kinds of stuff. And I wasn't the A student. I was the one that like failed freaking everything. I got called stupid by teachers. So I wasn't, I wasn't on the path of acceleration, you know, on societal terms. And yet here I am. I think I'm fucking awesome. Like I think I do things of great purpose, of a great mission. And whether or not one person listens to this or 10,000 people listen to this, I'm still showing up for you. Like, but I'm more importantly, I'm showing up for me because I believe in myself. And when we do that, great things occur. Like great things.
I think that the topic that we started with, You Are Enough, is so vital. I mean, can you imagine if we taught You're Enough to kids instead of I think they'll figure out how to brush their teeth eventually, you know, but You're Enough. I mean, just focusing on that, my whole life, you know, it happened for a reason, but if I would have known I was enough when every day I went to school thinking I wasn't enough, I wasn't dressed the right way. Yeah. My mom fed us weird food, I thought,
because
we didn't have enough money. You know, my lunch pail didn't have the right stuff in it. We didn't have money for Twinkies or whatever. So, you know, I was just in my clothes, everything. And so I just felt then the next many years was trying to catch up with that, trying to be enough. And it took me a very long time to figure out that I was giving my little cup, my container, to trying to figure out who out there could fill it up to make me feel better, when I was finally just burnt out on that completely, adrenal glands done, everything. Until I realized, okay, I got to fill this thing up myself. Now, how do I do that? And that's, you know, figuring that out. Okay, I have to love myself. Okay, how do I do that? How do you even do that? Where do you start to love yourself when you haven't even been taught or shown how to do that? You do it very slowly sometimes, or you just start to just appreciate where you are, wherever you are.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a good way to conclude today, of where do you begin and where do you start? And you said something. For me, it was slowly, it was gracefully, and it was compassionately done. And for me, I'll give an example for you guys of two specific things that I did that really helped me in the beginning. And again, they're going to be really simple, so prepare yourselves, be mind blown by the simplicity. I'm a knower. So I have information that comes from me, and I usually am not a reader. So I didn't know this was like written in a book yet until after, but I did what parents call mirror work. And Louise Hay talked about it. I learned after. I was doing this for a couple years by myself. Even as a child, I don't know why I did this, but as a child, I'd sit in the mirror and judge myself. I'd find all my flaws. I had really weird quirks too, so I'm not going to even go there, because you'll be like, wow. Not like in a judgmental form, but like, yeah, that's how far I was in that pool. But I would sit in the sink on the counter and stare at myself in the mirror. And as a child, I judged myself. Well, one day, I don't know why I did it. I sat in the sink as an adult. I was like in my mid to late 20s, and I sat in the sink and I was crying at first, and I was looking at myself. And at first I said something out loud, and I said, I hate you. I was like, I hate you. And I said it over and over again until I started crying. And then it turned into, I love you and I'm sorry.
Yes.
And I started to do mirror work. I started to talk to myself, not just look at myself. I started to look within myself. And then as I looked deep within my eyes in the mirror of me, I saw something else. Not visually. I felt it. I felt this person that's been hiding in the back of the room this whole time. And I invited her to come forward. And so some people call that inner child work. And at the time, I didn't know that was a thing either.
Right.
But that's how it started. And then a next phase of that chapter, because it wasn't like something, oh, did you do it every day, Danielle? Was it always at noon? Is it a five? No, right. I did it when I felt that I needed it. Sometimes I was sitting on the floor because I had a floor mirror on the back of my door in the bathroom. I'd sometimes be sitting on the floor. Sometimes I was looking at myself in my camera on my phone. And I would be usually crying in the beginning when this happened. It wasn't usually in states of, you know, woohoo. Now I do it in states of woohoo. And then I do power talks. But so then my next chapter was I took, because I knew there was a little girl hiding in a corner. And I eventually realized it was associated with trauma and all this other stuff. But even if you don't know that, it doesn't matter. There was a little girl that wanted to be loved. I had a little girl in me that wanted to just like a freaking hug. Somebody hug the goddamn girl and leave her by herself and think she's going to figure it out by herself.
Right.
So I had to become that person for her. And I did it through a pillow. I hugged a little girl through a pillow. And that's why I tell people if you have a stuffed animal or some kind of attachment thing. And I used to have in my other house, I had a pink chair that had a pillow. And I would take that pillow and I would hold that girl. I'd sit her on my lap. I'd pretend she was sitting there. And she was usually awkward at first because she did not connect physically. She didn't feel like, I know this is really strange. Why would this woman want to love me and touch me? Like, you know, hold my hand or rub my back or tell me that I'm beautiful. It was really awkward for me to tell that to myself. And I did it till it became natural. So I'm not going to keep going any further, but that's something you can try.
Yes.
You know?
And you just hit two things. So there's something called upgrade the child that we do, but it's kind of the same concept where you take your younger self and we help clients or I help clients kind of take your younger self by the hand and kind of take them to where you live now and just kind of close your eyes and walk them through your whole house now and just show them, look, you have all these things now. Look where you live. You're safe. You're comfortable. You know, show them some pictures on trips you took. Hug them, show them they can go to the fridge and eat whatever they want. They can sit on the couch. They can play on the computer. And it is so profound for people to be able to put that younger self in a new environment and feel safe and just upgrade it and then say, you live in my world now. You're here. You live in my world. And just keep doing it and doing it. And then what you said about looking in the mirror, I mean, again, I'm not sciencey, but the more our mind responds to the words and pictures we tell it. So those programs in your subconscious, the programs, the words you say, your mind responds to it. So, and it doesn't care if what we tell it's right or wrong, by the way. So if we're telling it, you lazy, you know what, who likes potato chips every day, it's going to kind of believe that. But even if at first it doesn't feel right, the more you say to yourself, that's positive, it changes you and it changes your cells and it changes your energy. And it just starts to slowly change everything and your vibe changes and then your world changes.
Yeah, it really does. Any last words? I mean, you've said so many wonderful insights today. And also guys, once the show is posted, you'll have show notes and you'll be able to find Christina everywhere you can find her, how you can work with her if you want to go any further. But I guess let's leave it with like one little note. I feel like we have those that are in the beginning of transition and in the mid transition of I'm aware that I'm feeling this about myself. I feel like it's just like in their center, like almost like they like don't have the words. They're like on the cusp of something. Like, what would you tell, like, what would you just like a tip or a final word? Like, I'm on the cusp of finding who I am. I think I see her or him. I think I know who I'm becoming, but how do I let that in?
We have the answers within. So we just have to trust. And I think the more you realize that you're enough, see, you don't have to earn love. You don't have to shave it or wax it or inject it or chase it, or you don't have to do anything for it. So when you just know that you are worthy of love and you are love and you are enough, You're born enough. We're born knowing we're enough. Think about a baby who can have food all over its face, chubby thighs. I don't care.
Nope.
It's just as we grow up, this other shit happens and programs happen that chip away at it and cover it up. So we just have to remember you're born knowing you're enough. Your soul knows you're enough. It's just letting all that stuff, you know, getting the roots, kind of the weeds, to go away. But once you know you're enough, you're born knowing you're enough, you don't have to chase it or earn it. And mm-hmm. we have the answers within. We don't need a lot of fancy stuff to find the answers or outside things. We just have to go within and get quiet and go within. And it doesn't have to be complicated, but you are worthy and you are enough, and you don't need anybody on the outside or anything on the outside to make you better or whole.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Stay within. I mean, it is the answer. Everything you want. You, and you. And on that Thanks. Note, I want to really thank you for being here today. I enjoyed
thank
our conversation.
You.
And this is, I mean, it's obviously something, it's an epidemic of, literally.
Yes.
So I really loved your insight and your just approach, and your energy is really beautiful and calming, by the way.
Thank you for having me. This was wonderful. I love your energy.
I enjoyed it. I really did. So I will talk to you guys later and see you around, or talk to you around, I guess.